True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's time to talk to our Royals insider. Josh Vernier joins us each and every Monday at 8:25. And Vern, before we get to other business, we do have a question on the text line, which I think probably only you could answer. Because I didn't realize this was a thing, but this is from the 816, Vern. It says, silly question. Why aren't the Royals uniform patches uniform? They are on different sleeves on each guy.
Is that right? I didn't realize that. I would guess. I have zero idea. But I would guess. So then the patch is facing the camera when they're standing at the dish.
That's what I'm wondering, if it's a righty lefty thing.
Yeah. I have no idea. I hadn't noticed that.
That you're going to put, you know, your big sponsor patch on the left arm of a righty and the right arm of a lefty would make a lot of sense if you're the advertiser, right?
Right.
Okay.
So I'm guessing, I think that's one of, that would still come across a live stream, but the commercials that the team sells, that's why I would think Major League Baseball would be against a live stream of a Royals game, because they would be without, as you guys know, expressed written consent.
Right,
of Major League Baseball and the Kansas City Royals.
I mean, because all those commercials about being a good dad are necessary, right?
Yeah, well, hey, listen, I'm not going to say anything. I've heard my own post-game show.
So, anyway, here we sit. Salvi's off to an amazing start. People are starting to notice around the country how good I'm hearing more Salvi for Hall of Fame than I have in a long, long time. I want to say we started this thing on April 1st or whenever it started. Everybody's kind of jumped on the bandwagon, but he's unbelievable right now, Vern.
The thing is, I don't know when this will end. But the fact that we can sit here on the 6th of May and say Salvador Perez, less than a week away from his 34th birthday, is vying for a triple crown, right? I mean, Miguel Cabrera, Carl Yastrzemski, Frank Robinson, Mickey Mantle, Salvador Perez, the free swing, and Salvador Perez is third right now in Major League Baseball in batting average, fifth in home runs, first in RBI. That's a triple crown candidate. And what he's doing is what you're alluding to. There's no reason to pull punches. Salvi knows what it's going to take to enter the gates of Cooperstown. That has been a goal. And listen, I think all Royals fans can understand when he's grinding through 2022, 2023, there's nothing around him. There's no pitching. There's not much talent. The team's not going anywhere. He has to find something within himself to motivate him to play the game that the way that he does, with the enthusiasm, the preparation, the aggressiveness, and that internal motivation, as we've been talking about for the past few years, is to make it to Cooperstown. And right now, we're at least coming into the season, the two biggest knocks on Salvi were he's not a good hitter and he's not a good receiver. Well, now he's vying for a triple crown, approaching his 34th birthday, and he is among the best receivers in Major League Baseball, top three right now. I mean, Salvi might be defending this year better than he did in any of his previous Gold Glove seasons. So the fact that he's now identifying, how are they going to keep me out of Cooperstown? Okay, that's what I'm going to focus on this offseason and refine my game and become one of the greatest catchers of all time. If he can hit another 50 home runs like we talked about, get up to 300, play another 3, 4, 5 seasons, I just don't see how they keep him out, and that's going to be one heck of a weekend in Cooperstown.
That's a pretty amazing thing, though, at that age as well.
Yes,
Vern, to say I'm gonna do great at both now. It'd be one thing, like, I'm just gonna focus on my hitting, keep doing that. I'm gonna play more first base. I get it. I'm not going to maybe catch like I did back in the day, but he's gotten better catching and hitting. It's amazing.
Yeah, and it's not as if he's, and this is somewhat of a stretch, but, you know, Seth Lugo's the same age, but Seth Lugo, who I've said is like a Jeremy Guthrie without the mileage, right? Seth Lugo was a reliever. Now he has all the instincts, the guile, the education, the experience of a Jeremy Guthrie without all the innings that Jeremy Guthrie logged by the time he came to Kansas City. This isn't some position change for Salvi, and now this guy has 140 games, countless games, innings under his belt behind the dish, and he's still able to revamp his offense, his defense, and still bring as much energy, if not more, than anybody else on that diamond, while most of them are 10 years his junior.
We do have a corrections department. Kurt Nelson, Royals Hall of Fame director, did text in and said it is correct. The lead sleeve is where the patch goes. We've gotten a lot of people texting in about switch hitters, and Josh is saying they use Velcro and they switch it out, and people are believing that. I want to get ahead of that and say that's not the case. Yeah. Switch hitters wear two patches.
Oh, I came to the disc. Yeah, put this back on the other slide.
So you really just look at the helmet. Whatever the helmet is, that's where the patch would be. Wherever the helm, the ear flap is.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, so if you're a switch hitter, somebody has to Velcro that off. I guess that's what the third assistant for things does in the dugout, right?
I want to see somebody have to do the uniform change in the batter circle because they're like, oh, no, we set you up as a lefty.
Yeah, they switch jerseys.
You get the righty jersey.
It's like Kramer switching the eye patch from one side to the other.
Yes, exactly. By the way, I sent you, Inspector, a text. I was yesterday years old when I knew Jennifer Coolidge was in Seinfeld.
I thought you were referencing the commercial that just played on 610.
No,
you're right.
Yeah, she was the masseuse. My wife and I are watching that episode last night, Vern, and she says to me, she goes, she looks much better today than she did then. I'm like, who is that? She goes, it's Jennifer Coolidge. I go, no.
No way.
Sure enough, yes, Jennifer Coolidge is the masseuse.
Oh, come on. You know you want to.
Yeah, right. I'm like, wait, that is Jennifer Coolidge. Oh, my God.
Yeah, she does look a lot different then. I was going to push back, but you sound very confident.
We looked it up on IMDb and everything. Wow. And then I made sure to watch the credits at the end
She's
of the
like
episode.
A different person.
It's Jennifer Coolidge. Sure enough, in the credits, Jennifer Coolidge as the masseuse.
Well, good for her. What a career.
Number of different incarnations of her career.
Yeah, she's been all over the place. Yeah.
Vern, is it not to panic or anything? Is it too early to trade for a bat? I don't know that this outfield, you're still going to need another bat.
Apparently not. The Padres just acquired Luis Arraez, although I don't know if you want to take your cues from the Padres. They have a losing record. I think their GM is an idiot. They're in a tough division as well. So, okay, I guess it's not too early. For me, it is. For this team, because I don't know who I'm trying to replace just yet. Okay, Nelson Velasquez hasn't hit a home run in more than a month. The only reason why he's on this team is to hit home runs. Okay, we can have a conversation there. I think Drew Waters would get the first look before you would go outside the organization. What this comes down to me, is Velasquez, Melendez, and Hunter Renfroe. Three guys that are not giving you the extra base power that you expected and that you're, like you're mentioning, eventually going to need. Eventually, the pitching staff, the defense, and the team speed won't be elite night in and night out. Eventually, this pitching staff will not give you a chance to win 91% of your games like they have so far this season. That will regress slightly. But when that pitching regresses, I don't want the defense to regress. So, look, MJ has performed like one of the three best left fielders in the sport. His arm ranks as the best in Major League Baseball out in left field. Hunter Renfroe is a strong defender in right. Those guys have made game-altering plays for this terrific pitching staff, so they're at least bringing something to the table, not to mention the speed that MJ Melendez has. These guys are still a benefit to the team more so than a detriment. Nelson Velasquez, again, we can have that conversation. I I would think he could be on his way out, or at least on his way back down to Omaha in the next few weeks if he doesn't pick it up. But as far as going out and acquiring that number six hitter, because that's what you need right now. You need a five or six hitter. Massey's done a nice job of jumping in that spot. I personally wouldn't see it happening until June. You look at last year, the first move was made really by the Royals, and that was late June with the Aroldis Chapman acquisition. Could they? Sure. Will they? I would certainly bet against it. I think the patience that isn't being shown in San Diego, I got to stop talking about them, but
they just throw the bad patience, money after bad money. So yeah,
they do. They just have way too many infielders. But you look at the names that we're talking about here. Hunter Renfroe, if he stinks, you're paying him $8.5 million next year. He has a player option, so you're going to give him a rather long runway. MJ Melendez, again, the defense, the team speed, and you've seen him in the first 2 weeks of the season win you three games. I think he's going to get a longer runway. So let's wait till the calendar flips to June, and then, yeah, we can step on the accelerator and make that move. Because, guys, dating back to December, what have you seen from this organization top-down that leads you to believe that they're going to sit idly by or sit on
nothing.
Their hands?
Nothing.
This front office, this ownership group, even the coaching staff's been very aggressive. I would expect that to continue.
You mentioned the coaching staff. You had an interesting call the other night to the post-game show about the manager of this ball club. People still trying to figure out who this guy is, huh?
Quattro, I had Contreras. This guy calls up and he's like, yeah, Vern, I wanted to know what you thought about Contreras.
Yeah.
And he's going on and on. I'm like, I mean, I didn't catch the Cardinals or the Brewers game or whichever Contreras you're talking about. Piccolo. No, I mean, whether it's locally, it's nationally, it's fans, it's media members, it's respected media members, they're all struggling with the names of the manager and the general manager right now of the team. I would like to think that's going to change as this past weekend, guys, these three games against Texas, more than 72,000 people came out to Kauffman Stadium, the first weekend set with 20K at each game since before the pandemic. As far as this early in the season, you got to go back to 2017, the last time fans turned out in droves this way. So,
well, you could feel it on Friday night. You know, we were doing some things around and running from here to there and just on the radio and on television, like you could sense the atmosphere. It was like Friday night was the moment where Kansas City fell back in love with the Royals.
And that crowd Friday, and then it was topped on Saturday, those were the biggest crowds we've seen since opening day. And during the game, you know, Kansas City always makes noise, regardless of the venue. If the place is packed, it's going to be loud. But what stuck out to me on Friday was after the game, after the Salvi splash, after the Joel Goldberg on-field interview, a good 20, 30 minutes after the game, it had that, you know, 2014, 15, 16 feel. It had a post-game Chiefs feel where the sea of humanity is piling out into the parking lot and you have little kids smiling. You have, you know, that group of way too drunk guys that are kind of scary, but they're kind of leading the charge of the Let's Go Royals and the hooting and the hollering. And it carries all the way out into the parking lot, the Let's Go Royals chants. Man, I haven't heard the buzz remain in Kauffman Stadium a half hour after the game like I did on Friday. I haven't heard that in 8, 9, almost 10 years. It reminded me of the last Chiefs game that I went to when you're walking out as, you know, 50, 60, 70,000 strong in unison, letting everybody know that our team was victorious.
Yeah, it was just great. And that's why I look at, like, okay, you want to make a move. You want to get that bat in here. You want to reward the fans. You want to show, as an owner, this is John Sherman's first big time now with a winning team. How is he going to respond? You want to curry the favor to get the new stadium voted on, all of that kind of stuff. Do you think all of that makes them want to act sooner rather than later, getting a bat to show the fans, hey, we're legit as ownership?
I wouldn't think so. I think a lot of it just goes back to the knock on the door that J.J. Piccolo would have to perform, right? Knock on the door, go into Sherman's office and be like, hey, man, I understand you just spent $100 million and you gave me everything I could have possibly wanted this offseason. Yeah, well, a few of them haven't really worked out, so I was hoping you could break me off a little. I just don't think that's the best reflection on what was a very confident, a very aggressive offseason. I don't think you start pulling the ripcord 35 games into the season because again, to acquire an outfield bat means Hunter Renfroe or MJ Melendez is going to be relegated to the bench more times than not over the course of the week. And I don't think you're ready to do... Well, I know you're not ready to do that just yet with MJ Melendez. And with the contract situation of Hunter Renfroe and the track record of Hunter Renfroe, you know, I think he deserves 2 months of the season. So again, once the calendar flips to June, again, I have zero reason to believe that anybody in that organization will be timid in their aggressiveness to continue to see 72,000 pack the K over the course of the summer. Don't I mean, you know, Bob, you know, John Sherman's a competitor.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of this is fueled by his embarrassment of last year, and also, you know, he wants to be able to bump shoulders with these other billionaires and flex and with what he's brought to Kansas City. So I would expect that to happen once the calendar flips to June.
The problem is, though, you have to rely on other teams to wave the white flag, and they want to sell a few more ducats before they go out there and tell their fans we suck.
Yeah, I mean, the entire American League East can convince itself it's in it.
Yep.
Everybody but Chicago can do that right now in the Central. You know, there aren't many Florida Marlins organizations where the GM even comes out and says, yeah, we're done. We're not making the playoffs this year. That's already happened in Miami. Outside of Oakland and Chicago, that's not happening in the American League and even in the National League. Outside of Miami and Colorado, I don't think that's happening anywhere else.
There was a belief for a while that the Royals wouldn't have any minor league ammunition. I feel like there's like a lot of buzz about what's going on in the minors. They're performing well as well. Like the teams have performed well. Is there enough ammo to make moves?
Sure.
From the minors?
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Like they're not barren right now
pitching.
That you can do it? Yeah.
Yeah, I would. I think you have enough. You're going to have to obviously get creative. Maybe you have to eat some money. What the organization doesn't have is a top-flight prospect that's ready to contribute at the big league level. But they have some very nice pieces down at A-ball. We've talked about Blake Mitchell and Carter Jensen, a pair of catchers. The Royals right now deep in pitching and catching, which is exactly how you would draw it up if you were a general manager or a farm director. Really, this weekend to me, even though the Royals dropped 2 of 3 to the Rangers, was a big-time victory. Not only 72,000 showing up, it's not, at least I'm not at playoffs or bust yet. I'm still at maintain through May. So avoiding the sweep at the hands of the Texas Rangers, watching Daniel Lynch persevere and pump through 5 innings of shutout baseball. Meanwhile, Alec Marsh is carving dudes up down in Omaha. Your two top relievers are one of the reasons why you lost yesterday. It's easy to turn the page after Schreiber and MacArthur get burnt by the Rangers. Angel Zerpa continues to emerge as one of those high leverage relievers. Again, pitching, defense, and team speed is why this team sits 5 games above 500. And those things were once again flexed this weekend. Pitching, defense, and Dairon Blanco again off the bench stealing a pair of bags. Man, we've seen a lot of closer entrances around Major League Baseball, that goofy thing they're doing up in the Twin Cities with a guy that is not Mariano Rivera. I want to see a Dairon Blanco intro music, fire and lights, because that dude is as electric as any closer you're going to find. So again, the pitching, the defense, and the team speed were all on display this weekend. The depth, the speed, and the power of a Drew Waters, the pitching of Daniel Lynch and Will Klein. We see Carlos Hernandez coming back. There's just no question. And you saw this coming with the offseason, the acquisitions of Frazier, Renfroe, and all the pitching. The competition at each and every position has been raised. That's why Prado and Waters and Lynch and the rest are down in Omaha. It's a deeper organization than it has been in some time. But that also, you know, keep in mind, that's not saying much for a team that hasn't won much in 7 years.
You mentioned that John Schreiber guy earlier, Vern. Is that Maria's kid related to Arnold at all?
B. Schreiber, not Shriver.
Oh.
I just saw her, by the way, and her son on Shark Tank.
Really?
Yeah.
What are they peddling?
They were hawking some nutrition bar that helps
sure they
you
were.
Avoid
yeah.
dementia or something.
Text line earlier said Jennifer Coolidge was Mulva. I can't get past that.
Crest? Ripple? Celeste? Bovary.
Bovary is my favorite.
Bovary gets me every time. I die laughing yes. every time he says that.
Yes. Yeah, I know your name. Mova?
Thank you, Vern.
Goodbye, Dolores.
Vern's Dolores!
Vern's got you at 5:30 today. Royals and Brewers, 6:40 first pitch here on 610 Sports Radio. We'll talk to Mike Moustakas coming up at 9 o'clock.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.